I don't ever want to give up on nothing. And that's because I'm a dreamer and all of that stuff. But I've also watched it in sports too many times. And so that's kind of where I come from when I look at this. Just bottle up how you feel right now, Warrior fan. And I would argue very firmly that it's not going to be like this for the rest of the year. That doesn't mean that it's going to get better. It might get worse. How about that? Might get worse. I doubt it. But my point is that I just don't like the same way Steph Curry, and we'll play it again for you in a sec, and Steve Kerr joins us in 25 minutes live. The same way Steph Curry goes, we don't want to make a move out of desperation. You also don't want to make decisions off of emotion. And your emotion right now is, ah, crap, this sucks. To hell with it. Throw it in the trash. And I just think that's where Team Tank is coming from. That's not where they are. It doesn't make any sense. The whole youth movement, Tank, this, that, the other. Quite frankly, just to be real about it, there's plenty of time for that. If that's what you want to do. If you want a youth movement, Steph Curry has two more years on his deal after this one. So this that we're experiencing, this isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, unless you trade Steph, which many people, you know, people want to do.
And what would you say about
that? It's nonsense.
Of course.
It's a non-starter.
Agreed.
And I'll be dismissive of that idea because you don't trade your number one marquee box office attraction when you're trying to put out a business that's about entertainment. And right now, you mentioned it before, like what's watchable about this team right now? Is it Buddy barely glancing the rim? Is it Dennis wandering lost on the floor? Is it TJD diving to the rim? Is it Kevon Looney setting a good sturdy screen? Is it Lindy Waters with an open three? No, it's Steph. It's only Steph. It will always be Steph. And so if you're looking to put out an entertainment product, you're not going to trade your number one asset. So yes, you're not going to make a trade based on emotion or desperation. I don't think good teams do that. And that's what Draymond said. His quote was, that's not what good teams do. Bad teams do that.
Thank you.
And this is not a bad organization. It might be a bad team right now. And yeah, they're able to go, you know, on a little bit of a run. I don't think they're going to go 32-10 the rest of the way.
I don't either.
But they'll probably be this sort of a team around 500, threatening the play-in. Maybe they get to the play-in and maybe they win a couple of games and get a series. But no matter what they wind up doing, I think after half a year, you get an idea of who they are.
I liked Tim's answer on Vucevic. Chicago's a weird team. I don't know what they're going to do, but yes, that's what the Warriors want. They want to stretch five. So to me, that's the guy. That's been the guy. That continues to be the guy. I hope that's the guy. Does that make you something scary? Probably not. Do I think that that can be a playoff team? I do. I really do.
And if I say I don't, then I'm dismissive.
Fine. Yes, you are.
Right.
And that's okay.
It's your opinion of me being dismissive. Am I being dismissive if I'm right? Does that make me dismissive?
Well, that's an interesting way to phrase
it. I wonder, like, your use of dismissive, and if I said 3 years ago I didn't think that they would win a championship, and I did, and I would be in the 94% crowd, there was a very small minority, and I don't think that you were one of them. When they were halfway through the year, I don't think that you were saying, oh yeah, championship, this team, it's a championship team.
No, I want to be in the moment. Like, just stay right here for a second.
Oh, I'm in the moment.
You're not.
I am.
You're not.
I'm in the moment, I see a team that's 19-20,
and
the moment, they're not good.
That's
and
fine.
And they haven't been good for 6 weeks.
But
and 6 weeks ago, when I said
the
they aren't good, I said
the
they weren't good, and they weren't good good now.
But that's not the conversation.
That is the conversation.
No, you're saying
it's the way you're taking it.
No, you're saying they can't go anywhere.
Oh, of course they can.
No, you don't mean it in a way like they're allowed to. You mean it in a way like they're not. And the problem is you've got to make decisions in the moment based on where you think things are going to go next. I want to be careful
right,
here. I'm not criticizing you for that opinion.
You can criticize me. You can say whatever you want about my opinion.
And I do. And this is a little bit of a difference, which is a good thing. Celebrate differences. It's a little bit of a difference in the way you and I look at things often. Not every time, not all the time, but often. And I skew too far to the optimist, and sometimes you're over here in what I would call, and by the way, slight tweak, I didn't call you dismissive, I called you a dismisser.
Right.
Which does not mean
that's,
that
you're... I mean, but that's, that you're getting mean, into nuance no, now, and that's I'm, fine.
It doesn't mean that you're dismissive of every topic, but you tend to skew in a direction of, that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
And that's fine.
And it's... But so you can tell me that, you know, this potentially could... It could happen. Like, Steph can find the fountain of youth, and you can acquire talent. And yes, I'm looking at it from a logical standpoint, from the way I judge a team and what I see when I watch 39 basketball games, and I see a team that is old and not very good.
Right.
And if that's dismissive, then so be it.
But my point is there is a very real possibility that this team 2 weeks from now has new people on it. So how do we know? How do we know where it's going to go? Right? The silly Giants...
Know.
The silly Giants under Farhan Zaidi, once upon a time, won 107 games with no talent. So, like, it's sports.
Right.
It's sports.
So, how are we supposed to have a conversation without looking...
No.
Looking at the bigger picture.
You can say it. Don't turtle up. You can say it.
I will never turtle up.
So, like, it's fine.
I will never shy away from my opinion.
My point is if we're talking about the remainder of Steph Curry's career, or even the remainder of Steph Curry's year, it is very, very relevant to think about what are the things that can be done to send this in a new direction. It doesn't, and this is my point, it doesn't have to be a championship. It doesn't have to be a one seed or a two seed or a three seed. I just think that we sit here today and it feels probably, I'd argue, as bad as it's felt all year, right? They're under 500, and you just lost to the freaking Raptors.
Yeah, you've lost 17 to 24.
Yeah, so like coming from that moment emotionally, similar to what Steph said, is not a great space to form your opinion about what the team should do next. Because right now in this moment, it looks like they are a dumpster fire.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to be a dumpster fire for the rest of the year.
Well, it depends on a number of factors. One, can you get the players that you were counting on healthy? And I know that I saw GP2 expected to play tomorrow.
That's good.
And Pods is not. Draymond is questionable. And Kuminga is probably 2 or 3 weeks away from him actually playing. And
Right. Beyond
the guys you have getting healthy, can the guys that you have actually play up to the caliber that we're used to seeing? And I'm looking at Dennis and Buddy particularly. Dennis Schroeder has been on 8 teams in his career, and I think there's a reason for that. And maybe it's because he doesn't fit, but Dennis so far has not been good. Can he play better? Sure. Can Buddy actually make a shot? Why not? Of course. So can you make acquisitions? Can you get healthy? Can you get better? All of that is absolutely possible, and I hope it would happen. But it doesn't mean that I necessarily look at all those things collectively and think this is going to be anything other than a play-in team or maybe a one-and-done in the playoffs.
Yeah, again, you're like, I think you speak for many. You're absolutely welcome to have the opinion. My message is today is today. Today is today. And it's the same message, quite frankly, that I had when you and I talked about those quarterbacks yesterday. And in fact, we can have a Sam Darnold conversation in a little bit after Steve Kerr comes on. I get struck how often we look at things, we remember the last thing we saw, and we decide that's who this person is. So now apparently Sam's terrible.
No.
Even I know, I'm not saying you.
No.
But they went 14 and in the end, I guess 14-4
right
this year. Sam's not terrible, but I also laughed when he was 14-3, and everyone's like, oh my God, guy's the bee's knees. No, we've watched him for 5 years. He's all of those things, just like Justin Herbert is, and Brock Purdy is, and all of these people. So when we say, are the Warriors 12-3, or are they 7-17? The only answer is both. They're both. Those capabilities are in there. And so I think Steph is not asking, he's not trying to strangle the organization into give me everything. He's saying, is there a chance to get better? And can we create a new path? And can Warrior basketball look different 3 weeks from now than it does today? I firmly think that it's possible.
Sure.
possible.
Of course it is. It's possible, but it's also possible, and I don't want to be dismissive or negative, but it's also possible that there's no deal out there, and the guys who you acquired, Buddy and Dennis, don't play any better, and your older guys continue to be in and out of the lineup, and it's possible that this doesn't get any better. I mean, they're, to me, teetering on the brink. You're going to Minnesota, a really good team tomorrow, at the end of a four-game road trip, and I don't know what the spread is, but I would guess you're 6 or 6.5 point underdogs going into tomorrow night.
I can look at that.
It's going to be a tough spot for the Warriors, and I look at who you've been through 39 games, and yeah, this is who you are. You were hot early when you had a fresh Steph, and you had Buddy lighting it up, and you were winning games, and then you haven't had a fresh Steph, and Draymond's been in and out of the lineup, and now Buddy has had a really hard time, and you've fallen on really hard times.
The Warriors are 5.5 point underdogs.
Yeah, there you go.
5.5 point underdogs.
Sounds about right.
Grandy, what's up?
I have a question for you guys. So, Willie, you're talking about you don't want to make a rash decision based on one bad game, like a poor stretch. Like, you want large sample size. I mean, they've been a largely mediocre team for 2.5 years now, and only getting worse. That feels like a pretty large sample size to make decisions off of.
I guess that is the sample size that I'm using to make the decision that I would attempt to make, which is to try to get better. Like, I guess I'd answer your question with another question. What are you suggesting? Do you want to tank? I don't even know how the Warriors would do that.
I'm suggesting that you got to do something extreme one way or the other, because just kind of hanging out in the middle hasn't worked, and it's not going to work at any point.
So you would either make a huge swing
one way or the other, which means the unthinkable.
You like
as well.
Zion. You want Zion.
I absolutely would go for Zion. It helps you now. It's a chance, but if it works, it helps you now, and it helps you in the future.
I'll tell you what. It's the only big name that even slightly intrigues me. I will admit
that. He's 24 years old.
But your other, to me, your other extreme is not possible. I don't know how this team tanks. I would love for someone to explain to me how realistically everybody loves to be realist. Okay, let's be realist. Realistically, how do you tank? Tell me how that looks.
I would say by tanking, I maybe don't necessarily mean, or by going extreme the other way, I don't necessarily mean tanking this year. I mean, you know, maybe opening your eyes to the possibility that Steph Curry retires somewhere else, plays out the final years, not as a Warrior.
Okay. So you're talking about trade him?
Yeah. That's one extreme.
I don't know, but it's
one extreme.
Here's the funny thing, and you've said this before, Dibs, I don't even know how you execute that. Who's the team out there that's like, yep, $59 million for 37 years old? That's the missing piece we need. And we have wonderful assets for you in return that equal $60 million. I don't even know how you do it. I'm not trying to be dismissive. I don't know. I don't know how you execute either moving off of Steph or moving away from Steph. I don't even know how it's possible.
Well, wouldn't Steph want to go to a team where he can maybe get his fifth ring? And if that's the case, then you're going to trade him to a pretty good team. And usually a pretty good team, if they have a high-priced guy, it's a good player that they'd want to keep. So unless you want to involve a third or a fourth team to move salaries around to where Steph can go to a team like the Lakers, for example, and, you know, if Steph wants to go with LeBron and give it one last go-round in this cockamamie scenario, then the Lakers are going to have to send out salary to someone else, yeah, and then that team's going to have to send it to the Warriors, and picks are flying and the whole deal. But I don't know the logistics of a trade with the highest paid player in the NBA is even possible, let alone would Joe Lacob even entertain that. And I understand that we all want to do right by Steph, but until Steph comes out and says, I want out, until he goes not full Jimmy Butler, but partial Jimmy Butler, you don't even entertain this.
I'm with you. And by the way, I don't think we're anywhere near it. And I think that this comment he made last night proves it.
Desperate trades or desperate, you know, moves that deplete the future. Like, there is a responsibility allowing keeping the franchise in a good space and good spot when it comes to where we leave this thing when we're done. Doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. Doesn't mean that you're not active in any type of search to you know, if you have an opportunity where a trade makes sense, or even in the summer free agency makes sense, like, you want to continue to get better. Nobody wants to be stale or be in a situation where you're passing up opportunities, but it doesn't mean that you're desperate, you know, just flinging assets all around the place just because you want to do something.
This bothered some people. Some people felt like it was a white flag. I thought that felt like a shower after a hike. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That Steph Curry is sitting here, and instead of trying to strangle people into being about me, he's like, yes, we want to win. Yes, we want to do everything we can, but we want to do it smart. I've been a Warrior my whole life. You think that I want to kick this organization in the face on my way out?
No.
I don't want to do that.
And you can't
Thank you, Steph.
Flinging assets all over the place. So
you're going to
fling assets all over the place for, let's just say, Zion Williamson. It's going to take two firsts and, you know, Wiggins and another player, and you get Zion Williamson in, and, you know, you're just flinging assets all over the place for a guy who may or may not be able to play. And, you know, tip of the cap to Zion. He's actually played in two consecutive games, and I'm proud
of him. That's three out of four now, Dibs.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And the one that he missed was not because of an injury.
Right. It's because he got missed some trouble.
Right.
He missed a plane. Yeah. 24 years old, and, you know, still can't figure out how to get to a plane on time.
Hey, this is interesting, and we haven't played it yet. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, reacting to that comment from Steph that we just played for you.
And this is so unusual for a star player to say. I mean, LeBron operates and has for decades exactly the opposite. He says, trade the 2031 first round pick. I don't care about that. This is Steph talking about leaving the franchise better than he found it. Guess what? You're leaving the franchise better than you found it. I promise you. And if anything, it's the franchise that owes him the last couple of years of his career. So this was a remarkable interview on a lot of fronts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. When you listen to him talk like that, it makes you wonder that the Warriors, who've been sniffing around a star player since last summer, that instead of doing that, they may do the opposite and make a trade to save money because they're not far away from the luxury tax, because it sounds like they've got Steph's sign off on it. So this was truly a remarkable moment in the season.
So once again, here's my reaction to that. Once again, Steph Curry, party of one.
Yeah,
that's
he's unique. Pretty unique, yeah. And I also think that he looks at it a little bit more the way I'm looking at it, which is it's not about February, it's about October. How do you get better between now and October? And if there's no big move you can make in February, and he talked about flinging assets all over the place, if there's no easy deal to get you better now, to make you a real threat now, why not make a trade like Brian Windhorst was saying, where you save a little bit of money, you clear a little bit of space, and you get to the offseason, and then you're more able to go out and get a free agent who'd be out there on the market?
If it's the right thing to do, then I bet Steph would be all for it. I don't think he wants to just kick the rest of this season.
No.
But again, you take each opportunity as it is presented to you. And if it's a smart thing, I do think he would sign off on something like that. I do.
Well, he's here. He's here for this year and two more, so it's not like his championship window closes at the end of this year.
Steve Kerr coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Glenn in New York. Hi, Glenn. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me. I think the big move that can be made now, and it's directly to your next guest coming up, is I think it's time to move on from Steve Kerr. We can give Mike Brown a call. This small guard lineup thing is not working. He keeps coming up with these idiotic rotations. Even the other night, he himself said, I keep taking Looney out of the lineup, and then halfway through the season, I put him back in, and I say, why did I take him out in the first place? It's just like he keeps making these idiotic, like, rotation moves that just do not work, and he refuses to move on from them. I think if we got Mike Brown in there, he's a coach that's already familiar with the team, he's familiar with the players, and we can pick it up. We can go from there. It's a big move that we don't have to sell the future away to get.
Yeah, Glenn, respectfully, very respectfully, could not disagree more. Thank you so much. If you look at this roster and feel like they are rotation moves away from being good, I would love to watch a game with you and have you explain it to me. I don't know what you're seeing. They don't have any talent right now.
Well, and they're tiny. So, they're, I mean, like, he talked about them having all these guards. All you have is guards and small forwards. And your bigs are both 6'9". Kevon Looney, who can't jump.
He was good last night, too.
Yes, but
he was good.
You know, it's not like he's a rim protector. And TJD at 6'9", who's not exactly that huge either. And the rest of your team is a bunch of guys at 6'3". So what do you want him to do with the rotation?
I do not know. I do not know. And going from Steve Kerr to Mike Brown, I don't know one person in NBA circles who thinks that that would be an upgrade. I love Mike too. Mike is a sweet man, and he really was a good assistant with the Warriors. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit. There's a comp from Mike Brown to Mark Jackson with the Sacramento Kings. He went in there and he changed some things about the way they went about it, and it really helped, and it worked, and they're lighting the beam, and they're doing all these things. Now, maybe someone else needs to go in there to get it to the next level. Is that person Doug Christie? I don't know. They're off to a good start. But I'm not down on Mike Brown. But Steve Kerr is a better coach than Mike Brown, head coach of a basketball team.
And Steve Kerr is going nowhere. So it's just kind of like talking about Kyle Shanahan. We need to replace Kyle Shanahan. Well, it's not happening. And it's the same thing with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is going to be here as long as he wants to be here. End of story, really.